It's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Opportunity to stand here on your stage. It's an honor to be before you. Well, listen, y'all, we're going to go right to work. Is that okay? Who's ready for a word in this house tonight? Amen, amen. So we're going to start with a familiar story in the Bible today. And we're going to talk about the wedding at Cana. Yeah, and the wedding at Cana took place in this town in Galilee, and everybody was at this wedding. It was a very popular event and a popular function. And in the Jewish tradition, weddings were a big deal. So everybody was at this event. And some of the people that were amongst the guest list, you had Mother Mary, you had Jesus, and you had his disciples. And so everybody's kicking it. Everybody's having a good time. I mean, they were turned up, okay? They were drinking wine. They were doing line dances. They were drinking wine while line dancing. You know how that goes. I mean, can you picture them now? I tried to picture them doing line dances back in the day with their wine and their togas and how they possibly did to Mia. And can you hear them right now? Like, oh, that's my song. They're running to the dance floor with the wine and And can I say this real quick? Can I pause and parenthetically insert? Don't use the event to practice to Mia. Okay, don't be the person on the dance floor talking about, oh, I'm going to learn this today. How you do this? Don't get in the way. No. Go practice at home. Go practice in the mirror. Yeah, on my line. Where my line dance is at? Yeah, practice Tamia at home and then come to the event. But that's beside the point. And so they're having a good time today. They're having a good time and they're drinking the wine and they're carrying on. And then Mother Mary sees a problem. So they're doing all of these things, and she sees a problem. And in verse 3, we're going to go to John chapter 2, verse 3. It says, the wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus's mother told him, they have no more wine. My. They have no more wine. Now, from a cultural perspective in the Jewish tradition, this was not a good thing. Yet to run out of wine or to run out of food for your guests was almost a cultural no-no. Like, they would be disgraced, right? They would be looked at as cheap or tacky. They didn't have enough stuff for their guests. Not only that, but this is something that would follow this couple for the rest of their life. I know that's crazy, right? Running out of wine. But this is something that will follow them for the rest of their life. It didn't matter how many galas they threw. It didn't matter how many sheep they acquired, how much land they had. They would always be remembered as the couple who ran out of wine. You ever have a situation in your life where you ran out of something like one time and nobody lets you live it down? Like, I ran out of gas one time, y'all. Like, literally one time, and my husband would not let me forget it. He'd be like, hey, you know you almost on E. Like, hey, don't run out of gas again. I'm like, bro, fill up my tank. But anyway, right? Like, fill up my tank. Don't let me run out of gas. But not only that, maybe you lost your cool in front of somebody. Maybe you said a few choice words, and now you cussing crazy Keisha all because you had ran out of patience one time. Yeah, one time. And that's what happened, right? So that's what would happen to this couple if they were to run out of wine. It will follow them for the rest of their life. So Mary is participating in the wedding, and she finds that there is a problem. What we need to understand is that wine at a Jewish wedding was symbolic. It wasn't just something that you come and have a good time and get you a little loose. No, wine was symbolic. And in the Jewish tradition, wine was a symbol of joy. So when they ran out of wine, it's safe to say that Mary saw that there was an issue. Say joy. Say joy. Yeah, we're going to read the scripture one more time. And anywhere we see the word wine, we're going to replace it with joy, okay? So verse 3 says, the joy ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more joy. They have no more joy. Now, what's crazy is that no one has noticed that the supply has run low. Yeah, they're partying, they're kicking it, they're carrying on. They're still running on this reserve wine, and they have no idea that the very thing that they need to sustain them has already run low. I don't know about you, but I've been in some situations where the very thing I needed was running out, and it wasn't until that thing passed that I realized I might have ran out of some joy. Maybe some of you guys were in a marriage or something like that, and it was too far until you realized, wait, there's no joy in this house. Maybe you had a job and it was bringing you some good money, but you kept waking up every day with this dread because the joy had run out. Maybe somebody walked away from you. I'm not really sure what was going on, but you just had this feeling that it didn't feel the same, that the joy had run out. And sometimes we're so deep in our situation, we're so deep in our mess, we're so worried about carrying on the facade that the very thing that we need to keep us going has already run out. Can I say one thing to you today? Don't let your joy run out. Yeah, don't get so caught up in life and caught up in the things of this world that you let your joy run out. And I'm not talking about happiness, because happiness is predicated on something happening, but I'm talking about joy. You know, the joy that grandma talked about, this joy I have, like the world didn't give it to me, the world can't take it away. The joy that is everlasting, the joy is knowing a perfect God in an imperfect world. Joy in knowing that everything ain't all right, but it's going to be all right. Yeah, don't run out of your joy. Joy is what's going to keep you in the midnight hour. Joy is what's going to keep you when things aren't shaking out the way you think they need to shake out. Don't run out of your joy. Say joy. Yeah, then all of a sudden, so Mary goes to Jesus and she tells him the problem. And this was his response, verse 4. He says, "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Now, what's interesting here is that we see Jesus saying, "It's not my time." But she goes on anyway to tell the servants, "Do whatever." In another version, it says, "She went ahead anyway." Literally, it says, "She went ahead anyway, telling the servants, do whatever he tells you to do." Talk about somebody who knows their baby. That even in the response that he gave, she knew him. Yeah, she knew him. When I read this, I thought about my mother-in-law. And if you're watching Mama Lab, I love you so much. I thought about her. She's somebody who knows her babies. Yeah, and I can see my husband right now. I can see them in the situation. You know, the party is going on. Everything is happening. And my mother-in-law notices there's no more wine. And she goes over to my husband. Dante. Now, mind you, my husband's name is Deontay. But I don't know why she calls him Dante. But she's like, Dante. You know they ain't got no more wine, right? You know they out. And I can see my husband, if y'all know my husband. Woman, well, okay, Mary couldn't have been black. Because then, savior or not, there's no way you're going to look at a black mama and say, "Woman, that's not my problem." But anyway, this is what Jesus said. I don't know. We got to look into that a little further. But this is what Jesus said. He said, "Woman, that is not our concern." So I can see my husband. Yeah, woman, that's not my problem. And after he says that, my mother-in-law, she would go over to the servants. Hey, I know you think what you heard. I know you think you saw what you saw, but do whatever he tells you to do. She would go behind my husband's back and say, "Listen, I know he's talking a little crazy right now, but do whatever he tells you to do." And I can see Mama Mary in the text here. "I know you think you heard what you heard, but trust me, it's about to go down." Like, I know that he said it wasn't about to happen, but it's about to go down. Some of us need to get like Mary, and even when Jesus doesn't give us the response that we're looking for, we need to have an "it's about to go down" in our spirit. "Yeah, I know you didn't come when I thought you should come, but no worries, it's about to go down. I know my finances are not looking the way I think they should be looking, but no worries, it's about to go down. I know my kids are tripping and my husband lost his mind, but no worries, it's about to go down." Because see, what Mary did, Mary knew him. She knew his demeanor. She knew his character. She even knew in the response that Jesus gave that something was about to shift. Because when we see this word woman in the text, this word woman says that these people are not related. There's no relation there. So when Jesus looks at her and says, woman, he's not talking to her as if she's his mother. She's talking to her as if somebody he doesn't know or he's not related to. And Mary was able to pick up on that shift. Because see, if he would have said, mama, my time has not yet come, she would have stepped in like a mom and said, oh, you got this, baby. Go ahead and do it. If he would have said, mama, my time has not yet come, she probably would have put on her mama hat and made a way out of no way. But because he said, woman, my time has come, she picked up on the shift, because not only did she know her son, but she knew her Savior. Yes, some of us need to get like Mary and know our Savior. That when he says pause or when he says wait, it's not a no. His time has not yet come. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And so as we continue to move, we're going to look at the next few verses, verses 6 through 8. It says, standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. Now, there's a few verses there. So what we're going to do is we're going to go one by one and we're going to unpack. So let's go back to verse 6 where it says, standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. So another teaching about Jewish tradition, right? Before they took part in any eating, before they took part in any special ceremonies, there was something called a ceremonial washing, that they washed themselves and they cleansed themselves before they took part in that. And that's what these stone jars were used for. Yeah, they were not used for pouring and dipping wine. They especially were not used for creating wine, but they were used for a specific purpose. But when I looked at this, I said, these stone jars are just standing there. That's not what they're used for. That's not what their purpose was. But somehow God took that and he repurposed it. He took what somebody used for one thing and he repurposed it for something else. I'm not sure about you, but I'm real glad that I serve a God who repurposes people and situations. Yeah, he repurposes time and moments. The cancer that you dealt with that was supposed to kill you, he repurposed that thing and allowed you to come to surrender. Yeah, when the job shut down in 2020, what was supposed to happen, you don't know this, but you were supposed to die in depression. You were supposed to die in doubt. You were supposed to leave God. But what happened was he repurposed that thing and allowed you to come to a place of faith that you never knew before. He's a God who repurposes some things. He's a God who gives new purpose and fresh purpose. Yeah, he repurposed some things. Say, he repurposed some things. He repurposed some things in my life. He repurposed some relationships. He repurposed some situations. He repurposed some mindsets. He repurposed some things. And because of this, I said, well, why didn't God just create something? You do know that he's the creator, right? He's God the creator. So he could have created something. He could have very well brought down a vineyard from heaven and said, hey, here's fresh wine off the vine. But he chose to use these jars. He's a creator. He created a way for Moses in the water. Yeah, he created a companion for Adam out of the rib. He's a creator. But instead, God decided to use what he had. And some of us are in a position where God is using what he has. Yeah, he's not using your sister. He's not using your coworker. He's not using anybody else. He's using you. And what I need you to do is get in position. Get in position to be used by God. Because what I need you to understand is this. He doesn't need to create a way because you are the way. Yeah, how many people in here know that enough for God to use? The Bible says that if we will cleanse ourselves, if a man will cleanse himself or wash himself, that he will be used as a vessel, purposeful unto God. So sometimes all we need to be is a willing and empty vessel for God to use. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have a perfect story. We don't have to have a perfect background. All we need to do is have a yes in our spirit. Amen. All we have to do is cleanse ourselves and allow God to move through us. Look at your neighbor and say, be a vessel. Yeah, be a vessel. Let's keep moving through the text. Jesus told the servants, verse 7, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. What I love about these verses is the sheer obedience that the servants have for Christ. Not one time do we see them speak. They don't give a rebuttal. They don't give a suggestion. They don't give a question. All they're doing is waiting for God's instructions. When you look at another verse, it breaks it down a little bit more. In verses 7 through 8 in the NSB, it says, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them. And he said to them, draw some out and take it to the head waiter. And they took it to him. Fill the pots up, so they filled them. Take it to the head waiter, and they took it to him. No rebuttals, no questions, no nothing. They just followed instructions. I want to give you another point. Just follow God's instructions. Yeah, what's funny is that Jesus doesn't give them the full picture of what's about to happen. He doesn't say, hey, you're going to fill up these jars, and then you're going to dip some out, and then you're going to take it to the head waiter, and it's going to turn into wine, and there's the miracle. No, he just says, dip some out. He says, fill it up, and that's exactly what they did. Some of us are in a position of where we are because we haven't followed God's instructions. When we look in the verse, it says, now dip some out. First, fill the jar. Now dip some out. We're so concerned about the now part that we forgot the first part. Yeah, we're so concerned about getting to where we want to be that we forgot the first instruction. Just follow instructions. Yeah, just follow instructions. Sometimes we need this play-by-play, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself in a position where I'm like, okay, God, I know you told me to pray a little bit more, and I know you told me this will happen, but I'm not there, but just follow his instructions. Holy Spirit is saying, just follow my instructions. How many of us know that obedience is better than sacrifice? Right? That's what the Bible says. So can you tell your neighbor again, say, just follow God's instructions. Yeah, the miracle is coming. Just follow God's instructions. The joy that you've been praying for is coming. Just follow God's instructions. The peace that you need for this situation is coming. Just follow God's instructions. Don't be worried about the whole picture, because if he showed it to you right now, you wouldn't be able to handle it. Just follow God's instructions. He said, I promise that the plans I have for you are to prosper you, but just follow my instructions. Don't worry about the outcome. Just follow my instructions. Just follow my instructions. My pastor, your pastor, always says this. He says, success in life, to a great extent, is based on your willingness and ability to follow instructions. When you follow the instruction of Christ, the now will follow. When you follow the instruction of Christ, everything that you need, everything that you're praying for will follow. I know there's some things in your life that you're battling with, but I promise you, just follow God's instructions. Amen. Say, follow instructions. You guys are so great. I promise you, they got me on this clock. I'm hurrying. I'm rushing. I'm out of here in a minute. But let's continue to move. Let's continue to move. Now, it says right here in verse 8. Before we move on from verse 8, I want you to see one thing here in the text. One thing here in the text. And it says, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. Say master of ceremonies. Yeah, dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. The MC, right, the master of ceremonies, a.k.a. the MC of this time, did the same exact thing that the MC of our time would do. So what's the job of the MC? The job of the MC is to keep the agenda flowing, right? The job of the MC is to keep the party live. You know, if you go to a real good wedding, they got a real good DJ. Brum, 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 brum. Put it up, give it up for the newlyweds. Hey, who's in the house? You got your drink and your two-step. Well, not us, not anymore. That was like back in the day. Back in 35 and under. Any 35 and under is in the building. Raise your hand, amen. Word Church is on 35 and under. But yeah, so the job of the MC was to keep the party going, was to keep the party flowing. So God said, if I can get this word, if I can get this message to the MC, then I know for a fact that the message I need to go forth will go forth. And some of you are looking at me because you said, Pastor, God has chosen me to be the MC, and I don't know why. Yet nobody thought that I would make it out of college, but here I am. Nobody thought that I would break the generational curses, but here I am. Nobody thought that I would hold myself into marriage, but here I am. Nobody thought that I would do this, but can I tell you something? Thank you, DJ Khaled. God did. Yeah. God knew exactly what he was doing when he called you. God knew that if he got the message to you, you would get the message to your mama. He knew that if he fixed your finances, you would help your sister get her finances together. He knew that if he fixed you on the job, you would take that job to another level. God knew exactly what he was doing when he cleaned you up. Pastor, I come from something crazy, but God knew exactly what you could be. He saw your end from your beginning. He knows exactly what he's working with. Be the MC. Be who God has called you to be. Walk boldly and upright, saying, I know the purpose that God has for my life, and it is to share the gospel. I know the purpose that God has for my life, and although everything may not be perfect, I know that he's going to come through for me. Be the MC of your family. Be the MC on your job. God is trusting you with a mission. So be the MC. Say, be the MC. Matter of fact, say, I'm the MC. Say, I'm the MC. I'm the MC of my family. I'm the MC of my job. I'm the MC. God, use me. If you have to use anybody, use me. And that's exactly what's happening here in the text. God is saying, if I get the message to him, he'll get it out. And that's what he does. Because in verse 9, he starts calling people over. He starts calling over the bridegroom. Hey, come check this out. Hey, real quick, come this way. He starts calling people over because in verse 10, he says this. He says, a host always serves the best wine first. He said, then when everybody has had a lot to drink, when everybody's feeling good, when everybody's a little lit, they don't really know what's going on. They're a little done. They don't know what you look like. They don't know where they at. They don't know the difference between a table and a floor. They don't know what's happening. Once everybody has had their fill, then the host brings out the less expensive wine. He said, but you, my guy, you wild. You wilding out here because you have kept the best wine until now. When I read this, I literally dropped everything and I said, oh my God. What's crazy is that this MC, this head waiter, this person who was keeping it live and keeping it going, he thought he had already experienced the best wine. Yeah, he thought he had already had the best wine. But how many of you know that when you encounter Christ, what you thought was the best is something completely different? Yeah, you thought you were living your best life. You thought you had the best friends. You thought you were in your best mode. But when you came to the kingdom, you said, oh, no. This surely is the best wine. And I don't know about you, but can I get 30, 40 people in here to stand up and give God some praise and say, I know that Jesus is the best wine. Yeah, I don't need a drink of nothing else because Jesus is the best wine. I don't need a drink of Patron. I need a drink of his peace. I don't need a drink of Hennessy. I need a drink of his holiness. I don't need a shot of whiskey. I need a shot of his wisdom. I don't need Don Julio 1942, but I need John 4:14 that tells me drink from the well that will never run dry. I need a drink. I need a drink of his peace. I need a drink of his joy. I need a drink of his mercy. I need need a drink of his grace. I need a drink of his goodness. I need a drink of his favor. I need a drink of everything. I need a drink of more. I need a drink of his holiness. I need a drink of his love. Look at your neighbor and say, I need a drink. I don't know about you, but Jesus is the best thing that I could have ever had in my life. Yeah, he fills me up when I'm on low. I don't need no liquor in my system. I need the Holy Ghost to fill me up. He's all that I need. Jesus said, if you drink from me, you will never thirst again. I need a drink. I need a drink. I need a drink. Look at your neighbor and say, I need a drink. Yeah, I don't need a woman. I need a drink. Yeah, yeah. I don't need no music. I need a drink. I need a drink. I need a drink. Jesus is the best wine. Jesus is the best thing that you could ever put into your body. Jesus is love. Jesus is blood cleanses you from the top down. Everything, he does a new work in you. He said, he that is in me is a new creature. He that is in me is a new creature. I don't need nothing else. I don't need what this world offers me. I don't need what social media offers me. I don't need a chick with a bad body who can't pray. I don't need a man with all the muscles but can't hold me down. Yeah, I don't need no big old house with no peace. I don't need no fancy car with nowhere to go. I don't need a friend that's gonna take off my ear. I need some friends that's gonna lay me down and cover me in oil. I don't need the riches of this world. I just need a drink of him. And some of you are here today because you just need a drink. You just need God to fill you up one more time. You've been running low. Newsflash, your wine is almost out. Yeah, you're running on that reserve wine. And how many of us know, how many of us understand that when that buzz fades, reality sets back in? That when that high is gone, reality sets back in? That when they get out the bed, I still got to deal with the mess. Jesus is the only thing that can keep you at that time. Not the liquor, not the weed, not the sexing, not the good conversation, not the distractions. Jesus is all that you need in this place. And if you know like I know that Jesus is the best thing, won't you go ahead and give him some praise? Won't you go ahead and say, thank you, Jesus. Won't you go ahead and say, fill me up, God. I'm running low, but fill me up, God. I'm running on empty, but fill me up, God. I know I'm almost out, but fill me up, God. I know that if I come to you, I don't need anything else. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. I need a drink. I need a drink. And some of you may be in here wondering. Some of you may be in here thinking, Pastor, I don't know what that is. My mind is driving me crazy. My mind is playing tricks on me. My kids are doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. My job is talking about letting me go. Pastor, what is this drink that you speak of? This drink is Jesus. This drink is Jesus. Their feet right now. I want everybody on their feet right now, and all I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray for you all. I'm going to pray that God will fill you up. But is there anybody in this place? I'm not going to make you walk down. I'm not going to do it. Is there anybody in this place that just needs to be refilled today? Anybody in this place that needs to be refilled today? And all this is good and gravy, and all this is amazing, and we're getting refilled. But what about the person who doesn't know him? Because all of this is for naught if you don't have him. There could be somebody in this place today that maybe you don't know about this wine that we speak of. Yeah, maybe you don't know about this Jesus that we speak of. Maybe you've never encountered him today. Can I see your hand if that's you? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your life, if you've never, ever accepted this, if this is something that you're saying, Pastor, what you're preaching is what I need. If I spoke to you today and you need Jesus today, can I see your hands in this place? Can I see your hand? I see you. I see.